Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 395, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord our God is good to all, from him all blessing flows. On all his works his tender love and mercy he bestows. And what follows? Psalter 395, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 3, the verses 7 through 13. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 3, the verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Denise Fagadra, who is to have a treatment on Wednesday of this week, and then shall be called upon to go in isolation for 1 week. And Nico van der Smet, who has laid down his office as elder for personal reasons. He has faithfully served the congregation of Pitcher Butte with the talents the Lord has given him for almost 20 years, and to that end, as consistory and congregation, we wish to acknowledge him. Therefore, may the Lord remember him further together with his wife and children. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that almighty and faithful God, thou who art the Father of all mercies, from whence every blessing flows, and then in the past week and in this morning hour, then we and our children have been the recipients of so many blessings from above, blessings which most of our fellow travelers must miss. Then it has pleased thee in this past week to watch over us in the home, at work, at school, on the way, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast not done according as we deserve. Ah, Lord, then also in this morning hour, when we may come up to thy house, a portion of the congregation, then we have to confess that we have no merits to lay before thee, but that our sins, that they are great, but thou hast exhorted us in thy holy word, that we may be given to beg of thee for thy exceeding great mercy. And to that end, Lord, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may look down upon us in the Son of thine eternal love, and whom thou art well pleased, with whom there is so much mercy, and that for poor and needy sinners. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee, to grant a humble, a broken, a contrite heart under all thy blessings, that in this morning hour, that there may be a little bewilderment in the hearts of us and our children. We have to confess that we take so much for granted, that we find everything so normal, when thou continuest to pour out thy blessings from heaven upon this earth, day after day, in the past week, then also for so many, then the brittle thread of their life has been cut off. A life's journey has come to an end, and they have been ushered into eternity. And we and our children may still be in the precious day of grace, at the time when it pleaseth thee, and where thou wast promised, that by word and by spirit, that thou shalt gather thy church, O Lord. Then we humbly ask thee for a blessing. Then we have heard thy holy law, and then each and every one has to confess that we are guilty and that we need to be pardoned of all of our sins. Wilt thou also bless the singing out of thy holy word to the hearts of young and old, whether for instruction, encouragement, comfort, but also to arouse to a holy jealousy. Oh, do bless the proclamation of thy holy word in this morning hour. Lord, may it then be the set time that sinners may be converted by and unto thee, that they truly may become a seeking people, that they may be taken by thy outstretched arm from underneath the banner of the prince of darkness, and to be placed under the glorious banner of Jesus Christ. Oh, what people to be placed in their guilt and in their missing, with those fervent, with those living desires and those longings for thee and thy righteousness, O Lord. That is what we all stand in need of. We need that other righteousness, the righteousness which has been merited by thy dear Son, because we have no righteousness of self. May it be impressed upon all our hearts, Lord. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy children, wilt thou instruct them, wilt thou lead them further. May they be administered out of thy fullness, and may they receive grace for grace. Oh, do grant that tender and close life, that dependent life, needing thee for everything, and to be given to acknowledge thee for thy wonderful works. Wilt thou so remember consistory and congregation, and then we commend unto thee him whom thou wast given for many years with thy help to faithfully serve the congregation in the office as elder, and where he felt that he could continue no further. Lord, then we commend him unto thee with his dear wife and with the family circle. May he be found as an Aaron and her for the brothers of the consistory. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. May there be a large ingathering in this very day, that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down, that much damage may be inflicted upon his kingdom, and that the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that it may be expanded, but that it may also be established. Wilt thou remember all thy servants, in a special way those that are old, those that are weak. Remember the students, remember the student who may speak an edifying word. Remember elders and deacons. Wilt thou remember missionaries. Lord, remember all our needs, the temporal needs, Wilt thou supply our daily bread when there are families that are struggling to make ends meet? Wilt thou then send ravens from above, and that they may be given to see thy hand therein? We may acknowledge thee for a father who was under one surgery in the past week, was privileged to return to his home. And then we humbly ask thee that thou may grant further healing and further strengthening than the callings in his life, than they have been manifold were in former years. Then surely thou hast put thy hand between him and death, Lord. May then this time when he has went to the hospital, that it may be used in thy hand, accompanied by the powerful and loving work of thy Holy Spirit, that it may be for the saving of a soul. Remember him together with his wife and their little daughter. Then we commend unto thee a mother that is called upon in this week to undergo her treatment in the way of precaution, and thereafter then she shall be called upon to isolate herself. Lord, wilt thou go with her, and that in the time of isolation that she may be given to open thy word and cry mightily unto thee, that the affliction may be sanctified, that it may be for her conversion. Lord, remember her together with her husband and their little boy in these trying circumstances. Wilt thou help them out and help them through? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Oh, do continue to uphold them, and may the callings be sanctified. Wilt thou remember our elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that care for them, those in their dwellings, those that may come up to thy house? Wilt thou remember them in the evening of their life, for body and for soul? Remember all the sick and all the afflicted, all those that are under the doctor's care. We may thank thee that concerning the virus that thou continues to graciously watch over us. May we be given to see thy hand therein. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Remember all those that have sick relatives, the particular circumstances. They are most perfectly known unto thee. Wilt thou remember them all? May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, in this morning hour, may our eyes truly be upon thee, from whence all our help must come. Wilt thou anoint us with thy Holy Spirit? Open thy precious word. Oh, that in this service, that there may be milk for the little ones, a strong meat for those that have been led a little further, and a heart full of love for the unconverted. Ah, go then from bench to bench, from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Give a little rest in thy house. Wilt thou bind the devil? Grant then a good hour in thy house, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 198, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. The just shall flourish in his day, and evermore shall peace extend. From sea to sea shall be a sway, and to the earth's remotest end. Psalter 198, 5, 6, and 7. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Revelation 3, the verses 7 through 13, and we shall read the verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast the little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Our text words speak of the letter to Philadelphia, the loyal church, with four thoughts. In the first place, an open door. In the second place, a worshiping enemies. In the third place, a promised preservation. And in the fourth place, a divine citizenship. The letter to Philadelphia, the loyal church, an open door, as we can find it in the verses 7 and 8. A worshiping enemies in verse 9. A promised preservation in verse 10. And divine citizenship in the verses 11 through 13. A beloved congregation, then by renewal we may consider one of the letters which the exalted Christ has given to John, that it may be written down and that it may be sent to the churches of Asia Minor. Then our children, they can remember some of the names, maybe even all of them, of the churches which we have considered thus far. Then in the first place, the church of Ephesus. In the second place, somewhat northward, a little westward, the congregation of Smyrna. Further northward yet, the congregation of Pergamos. And then we come somewhat southeastwardly, and then we have considered the letter to the congregation of Thyatira. And then a little further eastward, then the past Lord's Day, then we have considered the letter to the church of Sardis. And now the city of Philadelphia, not so far away, approximately 45 kilometers to the east of the congregation of Sardis. It was a city that lie on a main highway. It was on the eastern side of a mountainous range where there were volcanoes. And then they also tell us that this city, that it lie on a fault line, and that many times the Lord has sent earthquakes that has shaken that city, that has shaken their houses undoubtedly. Then many a times there were those that have lost their dwellings and that they were called to rebuild them. It was also a fruitful valley where there were fruitful vines. And now in this city it is pleased the exalted King of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, by word and spirit, to plant a church. And then when we have read the letter to the church of Philadelphia, congregation, what have you thought of that letter? Have then prayers been sent forth? Have there been souls that have sent a prayer to the Lord and says, Lord, may I now be such a Philadelphia, because what precious things are spoken to that congregation Oh, have the prayers been sent up, O Lord? May our congregation, may it be blessed as that congregation of Philadelphia, because there are two letters to the churches of Asia Minor. Oh, we have heard of different congregations. They were praised. Nevertheless, I have somewhat a few things against thee. But now the congregation of Smyrna and the congregation of Philadelphia, they have received unmixed praise. They were given to walk in a tender life with the Lord. Oh, perhaps many times the city has shaken with tremors, with earthquakes, has given them more a dependent life, that perhaps those earthquakes, that they were used in a special way to keep that church close to the Word of God, to keep the church close at the throne of grace. Then the letter to the church of Philadelphia, what an instruction it has for the people of God. When we have heard some of those other letters, then we have heard in the midst of all of their blessings that there was still much amiss. And alas, alas, how satisfied the church can become when it becomes darker, when it becomes quiet, when it becomes lukewarm, and that close life is missed. But now we read to that end, then in two of these letters, then we read of churches that were bound so close to the Lord, and where they were given to experience the wonderful things of grace. Oh, a church that has learned that it was grace and grace alone. Romans 11, verse 36, through him, of him, through him, and to him be all things forever. Ah, that the church of Philadelphia has learned. No, the church, they had nothing to boast of self, but to be given to boast in the grace of God. And now we read in the introduction, these things saith he that is holy. Oh, it is evident in this letter that the church of Philadelphia, that they had much to do with the holiness and the righteousness of God. When we read, he that is holy, that in the first place, that is in his essence, because I read in Habakkuk 1 verse 3, that he is of pure eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look on iniquity. He that is holy, oh, then his works, they must also be holy, because from a holy God, from a holy Christ, then nothing can come forth but holy works. Then in the third place, he has given his holy word. In the fourth place, by the grace of God, and that church in Philadelphia was given to reflect. We read in the epistle of Peter, be holy, for I am holy. And in Romans 8, verse 29, that the church becomes conformable to the image of Christ. Thus Christ, oh, in the church of Philadelphia, then that church to the surrounding fellow travelers, then they were given to reflect that holiness. But then we also read that he that is true, because they read in Titus 2 verse 1 that it is a God that cannot lie. Oh, he that is true, that is concerning what he has written in his word. O church of God, that is true concerning what he has promised to his church. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They can never fail. Oh, it is true. The Lord shall fulfill them in His time and in His way, in unfathomable ways and in that way, that He may be glorified. Oh, for the church of Philadelphia, because we have heard it, that for that church it was not always easy, that there were trials, that there were tribulations. But then Christ was given to say that He was true, that what He has promised to His church He shall surely fulfill. But congregation, then He is not only true concerning what lays away for His church, the promises here for the time, and what Christ, what the Lord has laid away for them in eternal glory. But that is also true concerning His judgments. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may His word become true in this very morning hour. May it please the exalted King to shoot an arrow of love, an arrow of conviction into the hearts of the King's enemy. And do you know what shall happen in congregation? Then the Word of God also becomes true for me. Then God becomes true. And then my sin becomes real. And then we learn that we cannot appear before such a holy and a true God. Ah, then it becomes true that we must appear before the Lord of heaven and earth, before our Maker, before our Judge. Then it becomes true that we cannot stand in the face of divine justice. Ah, when that takes place, then we become true also at the throne of grace. Then we are given to confess our sins, and yet a beggar's cry. Ah, may there be found such in our midst. He that is holy, He that is true, that concerns what the Lord has prophesied concerning this earth, concerning His church, but He is true, that is also concerning the enemies. Oh, it is true also in the congregation of Philadelphia. Then there is that opposition. There was that opposition. And oh, for the church, then they shall experience what a Jehoshaphat has testified in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, where those three kings that have come up to fight against Judah, that we have no might against these enemies, but our eyes are upon Thee. Then further, He that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. We have spoken of those keys some Lord's days ago, out of Lord's Day number 31, concerning the keys which Christ gives unto His church, and that is the preaching of the gospel, and that is Christian discipline. Thus we shall continue with our text words. And then we read, I know thy works. Oh, a comfort for the church, for the congregation of Philadelphia, young and old. What precious things are written concerning this church. Ah, that was not the fruit of the members of the congregation, but they were the fruits of the Holy Spirit that they were given to exercise a close walk. And then further, behold, I have set before thee an open door. What a blessing and what a privilege. And what are we now to understand when Christ, when He declares to this congregation that I have set before thee an open door. That means in the first place congregation that there was much room to proclaim law and gospel, that the Lord has given the office bearers that they have received such an open door. No, then it was not a plowing upon the rocks. Then they did not have to bring that word, because it can be that that door seems so shut, but that it may be experienced that there is an open door, that there is room for His word, and that for a purpose, God glorifying and soul saving, that there may be a large ingathering. We read of that door in Colossians 4 verse 3. God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. But then when we read, and I have set before thee an open door, that means that there were also open hearts. That is the Lord's work. That by the work, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, that by His almighty grace, that in that congregation, that the Lord has given open doors, that by His almighty power, that the doors of our hearts were opened. Oh, by nature, then that heart, then the doors, they are open for everything else. For the things of the world, for temptation, for the voice of the devil, the promises of the world. But through our deep fallen Adam, then the door of our heart that has been so close to the Lord for His communion, for His blessings, for His word, but now for the congregation of Philadelphia, an open door, because when the Lord grants an open door and the preaching of His word, of course also for His people, what a blessing it is when there are empty vessels, when there are peoples that have come up to God's house with a need, with riddles and with perplexities, when they may come as a Ruth on the field of Boaz, and that they may be given to glean thus. But those open doors, oh, that is so necessary, that the doors of our heart may be opened by that almighty grace. Young and old, has that now taken place in our life? Oh, it is true of self. We are not able and we are not willing. Then amidst all the knockings of the Lord, and how solemnly He has knocked upon the doors of our heart in the time gone by and at the present. But then our doors remain closed. But now, when the Lord by almighty grace, when He opens that door, then we are given to ask that the Lord may take possession of our heart. Oh, what a blessed congregation. I have given thee an open door, where it has pleased the King of the church to work richly among young and old. Paul was given to write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9 concerning the congregation of Ephesus, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many enemies. We read of Lydia in Acts 16, that the Lord has opened her heart, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul and congregation. When that takes place, then everything becomes different in our life. Oh, then our heart goes out after the Lord, after His favor, and then we are given to listen with two ears how the Lord converts His people, and then we are given to beg that the Lord may convert us. I have given thee an open door. what else is now necessary for the church? An open door at the throne of grace by the work of the Holy Spirit. This is all the Lord's work. And virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, that praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father, an open door, also necessary in the way of providence. What a doors can seem to be closed in the way of providence. Family circles, daily bread, you can multiply it out. And then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when we are given to see in the Lord's special providence that He opens doors in unexpected, impossible ways. And we must be careful in itself. That is not a mark of grace, still a blessing when we may notice it. That also in our outward life, we may need the Lord. But now for the church in Philadelphia, because for the true church, the church learns that a God of grace, but also a God of providence, especially when the Lord begins that good work, then many times in special ways in His providence, that they may understand, that they may experience, that the Lord knows of them. I have set before thee an open door. Was also an open door for doing good to their fellow man. I read in 1 Galatians 6 verse 10, as therefore ye have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Thus that opening of the door, that was not because that people in Philadelphia, that they were so brave and that they were so strong and so zealous, but then Christ has immediately declared, for thou hast a little strength. Ah, the church learns that they have no might of themselves, that they are so powerless against all the assaults of the enemy, all the temptations of the world, and concerning that strength, even Paul, he had to learn it, and not only learn it once, but the child of God has to learn it each time by renewal, that they have little strength. And to that end, how necessary, how precious, that mediator becomes also in his kingly office, because he has declared before he ascended into heaven, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And I read of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, with a thorn in the flesh. And that was such a deep thorn. And he has prayed thrice. And then Christ has given him a special answer. Then Christ has said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in verse 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. How can that now be? Because when the church may be given to experience and confess their weakness, then the Lord has promised to grant His gracious help. Do I not read in Psalm 89, verse 19, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Ah, the church learns. 1 Peter 1, verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed unto the last time. and thou hast the little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Then our second thought, worshiping enemies. Thus they have kept his word, have not denied his name, and that for a people that is little strength. Oh, then it is also clearly evident that church with that little strength, and then when they have come into trials and persecution, that Christ has given them special faith and special upholding, that under those trials, that they have not denied my name. And then in verse 9, then it speaks of those worshiping enemies. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. We have heard that expression already in Revelation 2 with the church of Smyrna. But for that church of Smyrna also a close life. Then it is written that some of them would be cast into prison. It is true. The Lord would uphold them. The Lord would keep them. Although some, they would die the martyr's death. But now for the church of Philadelphia, then something completely different is written concerning the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. What are we now to understand by that people? Well, the Jewish people, they have trusted that they were children of Abram, that they were not as bad as the heathens, and that when they walked a strict life, then they hoped to go to heaven. And now when the apostles have come and preached free and sovereign grace, and Christ has also said to the Pharisees in Matthew 5, verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, ye can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And then those Pharisees have become very upset. Thus, when we read of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, that points to the enmity of natural man against a sovereign God and the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. And now it is necessary that we learn that we are such a Jew by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit. And that not only in the time of conversion, but when that people is in the workhouse. And then to learn that it has no value in the balance of divine justice. And that with all our works, we only increase our debt, cannot be missed. But oh, the enmity in the carnal heart against the sovereign God and against the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, and then to be saved without money and without price. Oh, to be given to bow, and that now is spoken of in the church of Philadelphia, when that people, when they have declared how they have been saved, with a stripping away of everything, that nothing can be, nothing shall be, and nothing need to be added to that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then the enmity of that people, that has become evident. Then those that said they were Jews and they were not, then they have felt it, that the true people of God, that they had something, experienced something that they did not possess. And then the enmity becomes evident. and then in different churches, persecution. But now the wonder in the church, the Lord is so free concerning the enemies of the church. Sometimes he confuses them. Think of Elisha on Mount Dothan. When the Syrians have come, then the Lord has stricken them with blindness, and they were led into Samaria. But now in the church of Philadelphia, then something very astonishing and great has happened, that those enemies, those that thought they were Jews, and under the proclamation of the word, also by their example, that they were given to see that they did not have what the true church had. But then we read, and are not but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Thus Philadelphia, that was a light upon the hill. That church was used. That those enemies, those that said they were Jews, they were not strangers of grace. Then by the powerful and loving work of the Holy Spirit, then many of those enemies, then they have come not with a sword. But we read, will make them. That is the powerful work of the Lord. Of course, that word make. The Lord is not slaves in a service. Psalm 110 verse 3. A willing people in the day of his power. You must not think, boys and girls, that God's people are forced. Do not have to tie him with a chain. But because of the work in their heart, because of the love to God, his word, his institutions, his people, and the need to be saved, I will make them. But it is also a willing people. Because to worship, that is to bow. All the enemies of the church, they can confess, and they can go along with the church. But they shall never worship. But now by the powerful work of the Spirit, virtue the King at the right hand of the Father, then those enemies, then they were subdued, they were won over, and they have come and said, O church, wilt thou now forgive that we have made it so difficult? Maybe, young people, that they have come, wilt thou forgive that I have been such a rebellious son and daughter, but also the self-righteous who have come in the way of enmity because for those churches that have that easy religion, and then when you take it away, then what an enmity becomes evident and what a wonder is necessary for such a people. And when that takes place, when that people may experience that it is grace and grace alone, then many times that people, they become the greatest defender of the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. Because they have learned in a special way how deceitful the heart is, and that our self-righteousness, it is true, all God's people, they are on the same school, the same teacher, the same textbook. But now for those that thought they were Jews and are not, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What a fruit upon the church of Philadelphia. And concerning those words, say that are Jews that are not, also a promise for the Gentiles. What precious promises we read in the Old Testament Isaiah 43, verse 6, I will bring my sons from afar, and my daughters, they shall come from the south and the north. Verse 13, I, the Lord, will work it, and who shall let it? In Isaiah 49, verse 23, they shall bow down to thee with a face toward the earth. What a blessed congregation, where it was heard that many were won over for the truth of God's word. Word was heard in the congregation, that they have spoken about it. Have you heard it? Boys and girls, young people, fathers and mothers, all maybe fathers that have even come to the church with their fist, and that they have declared that they were so against what was brought, but then to come with tears and to say, I have now become that Jew. Oh, I have learned that with all my religion, a guilty and a hell-worthy sinner, but also in the way of further leanings to come to a knowledge of that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us first sing. Psalter 345, the stanzas 1 and 2. To the hills I lift my eyes, when shall help for me arise? From the Lord shall come my aid, who the heaven and earth has made, and what follows. 345, 1 and 2. the letter to Philadelphia, the loyal church, an open door, worshiping enemies, and now in the third place, a promised preservation. And then we read, because thou wast kept the word of my patience. What a special grace that is in the life of the church. Perhaps in an outward way, that congregation were given to be submissive and to exercise patience when the Lord has sent earthquakes, must have not been easy. When their house came tumbling down, when they have rebuilt it, when they have felt those tremors, then undoubtedly it was used that they were given to exercise patience with the Lord, with His dealings. And the church learns that patience in exercise, that it is not a fruit found upon the acre of their own heart. When it is of sure duration, then there can be times that they think that they have a little measure of that patience. But when it continues for a longer time, then they shall experience that it is nothing of self that it must be given, and that it is a fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, under His great suffering of soul and body, where He has prayed thrice unto His Holy Father, concerning the cup of wrath, nevertheless not my will, but Thy will be done. We read in Romans 5, the verses 3 through 5, that the apostle was given to speak of that patience not only so, but we glory in tribulation, and knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and that experience that is wrought by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto the church. Thou wast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That does not mean the same meaning as the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That does not mean as such that the church shall be delivered from all temptations, because the church, they are in the midst of the world with many temptations, and as we come closer to the end of the world, then the temptation shall only increase, but then Christ is promised, to that church with little strength. Do you ever think about it, congregation, when it shall come to the point? This happened in Muslim countries before, that the Muslims have come into a school or to a family and lined everyone up. And then they began with the first one and asked them to deny their religion. If they would, they may live, and otherwise they shall be shot. And then the next one. Have you ever thought, congregation, if that would now take place in our church? And when we consider our little strength, how shall it then be with us and our children? Shall we then stand fast, for the church of Philadelphia? Then it was written they had little strength, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon thee, upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. What do we see? Then in verse 10, Christ is promising the church that he shall keep them, remember them in the hour of temptation. And in verse 11, the responsibility of the church, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Our forethought, divine citizenship. In the church, there are babes, little children, young men, and fathers. And then it is necessary also that the children, that they grow, that they are fed by the milk of God's word, and that they come to a knowledge, let there never be rest, out of a saving knowledge of that mediator. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent. And now that divine citizenship, him that overcometh, read that in each of the letters, to exhort the church to be steadfast and bound at the throne of grace. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What are we now to understand by a pillar? In the time when these letters were written, then there were temples that were built to idols. Still have the rooms, not the whole temple. But then there were not walls and a roof. But then there were many pillars with a large roof. Thus those pillars, they supported the roof. And now Christ has promised to the church, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. We read of those pillars in Galatians 2 verse 9. James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars in the midst of the church. And now it is necessary our children can understand it. To keep the roof up, then you need pillars. And what shall now take place if those pillars are taken down? You can picture it, boys and girls. A large roof with pillars. And if those pillars are now taken away, then you shall say, then there shall come a time when too many pillars are taken away, that the roof shall come falling down. And now to the church of Philadelphia promised that there shall be pillars. Those are the exercised people of God that may stand fast for the old truth and the old ways. Thus, what is now necessary for a church? Because for all of us, it is appointed once to die, also God's people. And when they are taken away, what is then necessary, boys and girls and young people? That new pillars may be given to replace those other pillars. And then young people, then you must not think, but then I have to be old. If we think of the time of the Reformation and the times when the Lord has worked mightily in his church, then how many young men, by the grace of God, have become pillars in the midst of the church? What a precious promise for the church of Philadelphia, because when the pillars are taken away, then the building, sooner or later, it shall collapse. And now concerning that divine citizenship, then we read of three special matters. I will write upon him the name of my God. It's upon their foreheads. That was a sign of ownership. Then in the second place, and the name of the city of my God. That points for the church, further leadings, their homecoming, that there shall be a place prepared. Christ has said in John 14, verse 2, I go in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And then in the third place, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down of heaven from my God, that is the second. And then the third, and I will write upon him my new name. That is that full assurance we have heard formerly of a letter to another church of that white stone. Thus then we read the ownership, that the child may receive an assurance that he is truly a child of God. Are there souls that are struggling with it? Does that now become your question? Am I thine or am I not? Often causes anxious thought, but for this church in Philadelphia, a certain ownership, the city of my God, a place prepared, my new name, that speaks of the assurance. What a blessed congregation. The congregation of Philadelphia. That name means brotherly love. In the United States of America, there is a large city in Pennsylvania on the Delaware River that is called Philadelphia. Has been found by William Penn in the 1600s. And that is the cradle of the independence of the United States. In that city, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were signed. And in that city, they have a large bell that is called the Liberty Bell, has been sent from England. And on that bell, oh, in those days it was so different, then God's Word had such a large place. And on that bell is written what we find in Leviticus 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And that bell was rung on July 8 of 1776 when the Declaration of Independence was signed. Then the people in that city, they have heard that liberty bell to be rung. It is true. It is cracked. It is a very large bell. Weighs 943 kilo. That bell was cracked. They have remelted it, formed it again in 1841. It is cracked again. But we can draw many beautiful lines. In the city of Philadelphia, a bell with those precious words proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And our congregation, that liberty bell may still sound in the midst of us and our children through the preaching of the Word of God. All for a people that have learned that He is holy, that He is true. For a people that have learned that they are so in bondage, that they have come in prison, and what they're crying, what they're seeking, what they're weeping, that they are a sinner still in bondage. And now, that liberty, that proclamation of liberty, in Leviticus 25, then it refers to the year of Jubilee. The trumpet would sound, and now that liberty bell, that proclamation, that may still be brought forth for us and our children. Ah, that liberty bell, that is cracked twice, still present with a large crack. But that covenant of grace, that is so sure, that is unbroken, that is a covenant from eternity to eternity. And the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, then He shall use that proclamation that sinners may be converted. O congregation of Pitcher Butte, what precious things that we read in this letter to this congregation. What blessed fruits, how Christ was glorified, a close life. Should it then not be our prayer, ach Lord, come down with Thy Holy Spirit and make us and our children as that congregation of Philadelphia. Then Moses has declared concerning that people in Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of wonderful things in this morning hour concerning that congregation of Philadelphia, because they were all people of blood and flesh, sons and daughters of Adam, but thou wast wrought so wonderfully and so mightily among them that they were the salt of the earth, a light upon the hill, and that the enemies of free and sovereign grace, that they have come to the church with a confession of sin, the experience of grace, and that they have begged whether such a ones may become members of that church. O Lord, may it please Thee in these solemn times to work mightily and lovingly amongst us and our children, that there may be many that have learned that they are under bondage, that they cannot deliver themselves, but that the sound of liberty, oh, it may still be proclaimed, and that it may be applied to the heart, and then Thy name shall be glorified, ach Lord. May the prayers then be multiplied, that Thou may do a great work amongst us and our children, and that Thou may raise up those pillars from our youth, from the middle-aged, and from the elderly, for the welfare of Thy Zion. Remember us in the furtherance of this day. Gather us by renewal in this afternoon around about Thy holy word, Lord. Do help the brother elder. Grant him an open door at Thy throne of grace, but also to be given to experience that there are hungry and thirsty souls for the words of eternal life. Wilt Thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 442, at the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Our gracious God has laid His firm foundations on Zion's mount, the courts of His delight, her gates of splendor bathed in heavenly light. He loves far more than Jacob's habitations. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Next week, Sunday, there will be three reading services where I hope to visit my mother, who turned 97 years old last week, and then I hope to serve the congregations of Brandt and Cortland. And there will be a midweek service on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Psalter 442, 1, 4, and 5. Array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.